Morning. I know we're changing things around a little bit this morning, so it's not going to be the same schedule as all the time. I get to talk first, all right? We're going to do things a little different this morning, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit, and then we're going to have the praise team, and then we got some special guests up to speak, which a lot of you guys know and have seen them before. It's exciting to be here. Thank you for coming to our mini mission Sunday. When I said that the other day, or last week, I thought, well, we're not going to have anybody show up, because somehow, at least in old-time churches, missions got to be, that's a good Sunday to take off. So I appreciate you guys didn't take off. And if someone's going to listen to this online and they took off, shame on you. All right. But I'm glad you guys came, and I am so much looking forward to this morning. I want to share a couple things this morning before we get into hearing Pastor Joseph speak. I wanted to share some things, and I put some slides up here, but I wanted to share some definitions with you. And basically, this is just definition class. Okay, they don't have a definition class. What is that? English. Vocab. Okay. Anyway, we're going back to school here. And these are definitions by Bob. Okay. I did not look these up in the dictionary, so they're probably not grammatically perfect. I did not look them up. I did not ask any teachers. So if you're a teacher here, which you are, and I always get weird looks when I make up words, but too bad. Anyway, I'm used to that from my childhood. I got weird looks. Anybody, from my afro. Anyway, but, okay, I'm serious. Sorry. What was I saying? Oh, definitions. I want to share some definitions that we as a church kind of have adopted, and as the leaders of this church, we kind of use these words amongst ourselves, and hopefully they're coming out on you guys some. But being a mission Sunday, these all have to do with missions. They're very, very important words, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of our missions philosophy, why we support, because you guys know that you as a church give a lot of money to missions, and we don't really spend a lot on ourselves, although we're going to do a little renovation in here in a couple weeks. But I wanted to share some of the definitions with you and hope you understand the philosophy of what we're doing and why Pastor Joseph is here and why we support ICII in India. But here's some definitions. First two things are people groups, all right? I think there's two people groups in this world, okay? And people groups are the reached. There is a reached people group in this world. Do I have these slides? Are they up there? Okay. Oh, look at that, it's up there. Reached people, I thought maybe they weren't spelled right, so they wouldn't put them up there, but there's two kinds of people in this world, two groups of people, reached people. My definition, the way I view reached people, is they have access and opportunity to hear the gospel in an understandable way. Now, if I know there's going to be, you might be able to add some other words and make them longer or shorter, but reached people have the opportunity to hear the gospel in a lot of different ways, or at least in an understandable way. That's people that already have been reached with the gospel. Before we go into, you know what the gospel is, right? The gospel is, what's the gospel? Anybody brave enough to risk being wrong besides Vicky? The good news of Jesus Christ. Excellent. What's the good news of Jesus Christ? Yes. Anybody have a child evangelism fellowship version of that? Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. Okay, that's the gospel. That Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. And Bob went through it up here for baptism. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He died in my place, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. No other name. It's not just one of the ways to God. It is the only way to God. So narrow-minded, but blame Jesus for that, okay? Because that's the way God and Jesus said, that's the way God said it was going to be. There is no other name given among men except Jesus Christ. God loved us. Man was separated from God because of original sin. Man was born separated from God. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And so God became, we couldn't because we sinned, and so God became a man and lived for 33 years, and when he hung on the cross, he said, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to take that punishment, that eternal separation from God, I'm going to take that punishment for sins on myself, and whoever will may accept that his death was in their place. Forgiveness of sins. And God offers us, and he died, and he was buried, and he paid the penalty, and he rose again, proving himself to be God. And what he does, he offers the good news, Jesus died, buried, and rose again for you. He offers that as a gift to us. And so when we take the gospel, we're taking this gift of the good news or the gospel to people that don't know, that have never heard, and we're saying, here's the truth. And they have a choice to either accept that truth for themselves or say, no, it's too easy or I don't want it, and they can reject it. But reached people are people that have heard the gospel or have access to hearing the gospel on a regular basis or in an understandable way. That's reached people. They have heard the gospel and they have either accepted it, and hopefully most of you guys have. That's what makes you what we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. All right, or they've rejected it and said, I don't want it. I don't want it now. I don't want it ever. Or they die without ever accepting it. But they have had a chance. They have heard. Okay, that's reached people. Unreached people is the second one. Guess anybody got a really quick definition for unreached people? They weren't reached. Okay, they have never. Okay, what the way I think about it, those who don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel in an understandable way, and who usually have no access to it. People that haven't heard, they have not had the opportunity to hear the gospel in an understandable way. They may have heard it in the trade language, but they don't fully understand it. But they have never heard in an understandable way, and they usually don't have access to it. That's the unreached people group. People that go through life like no one ever told them the gospel in their own language. All right? They have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, which you're going to hear in India, piles, at least thousands of people in India, or should I say millions or billions? They have never heard the gospel. There's some people around here that have never heard the gospel, but they have the opportunity. Someone's kept them from it. We're people that don't even have the opportunity to hear the gospel. That's unreached people. So that's, I think there's, if you break all the world down into two groups, you have reached people with the gospel and unreached people with the gospel. Now, I've got two more definitions for you as we go along. The church, all right? Who is the church? Anybody want to risk? Who is the church? People are somewhat true. Anybody else? The church is believers in Jesus Christ. With the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, we'll see in a verse in a minute, you become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You are the church, the body of Christ, okay? But we're talking in this, the church is believers in association. Believers in association. We are an association. We as believers get together in what we call the church building. We are an association of believers. Next door, the Dunkard Brethren is an association of believers in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of associations or a lot of churches, but I want you to understand the church, as we're going to be talking about it, is an association where a whole bunch of believers in Jesus Christ get together to worship God, and kind of in our circumstance, it's once a week or whatever, but that's the church. That's the believers in association. And then the next definition you need to understand is indigenous missionary pastor. An indigenous missionary pastor. Indigenous. That's an interesting word. Someone want to tell me what indigenous means? What?
From a place. Originally.
From a place originally. I'm just having fun with you. Yeah. Yeah. A native, okay? A native. Is anybody here indigenous to Pine Grove, the Pine Grove area? That means you were born, you were raised, and you grew up in this area, okay? Listen to my definition of indigenous. Indigenous missionary pastor is a believer from a church taking the gospel to a people group whose culture and language is similar to their own, all right? It's a person, a believer from a church, taking the gospel to a group whose culture and language is similar to those. Do you know any indigenous pastors? Thank you. I'm an indigenous pastor. You might not have known that I'm indigenous, but I am, all right? This is kind of my area, all right? I come from this area. I know the culture somewhat. Pine Grove's a little weird sometimes, you know? And us Lancaster County people are definitely more mature. But You know, I'm an indigenous pastor. We've lived in here for a long time. I guess that makes me indigenous. But it's a believer from a church taking the gospel to a group of people whose culture and language is similar to their own. That's what I'm going to refer to later as an indigenous pastor or indigenous missionary. Compared to a missionary, a white guy going to, you know, some little tribe out in India somewhere, I would not be indigenous. Pastor Brito looks to be indigenous. Okay, are you indigenous to India? Y'all, whatever your language is. That's almost probably Dutch, isn't it? All right. He's going to be speaking. I asked him to speak in indigenous, with an indigenous accent when he comes, but he will. But indigenous is a believer from a church. And what's cool about this, taking the gospel to a people group whose culture and language is similar to their own. Not the same, but similar. So when they walk into that culture, it's not like, here's some weird guy. He looks like us. He sounds like us. You know, he understands our language. He knows our language. And instantly, you can have a rapport because of your skin color, because of your accent, because of the language you know. You don't have to spend years in language school. You don't have to, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so that's an indigenous missionaries. Now, that's definitions by Bob, okay? They can be added to whatever. But now here is the church's mission statement by God, all right? This you can't argue with. This is perfect. This can't be changed. Although piles of people and piles of groups of believers try to change this, the church's mission statement by God is very simple, Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 is talked about. A lot of you guys can quote this, but you will receive power. After this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And whatever version you learned out of, it is the mission statement of a church. God wrote the mission statement for every believer, every church, and every local church. He wrote this mission statement and said, here's your number one goal on earth. It should be my number one goal and your number one goal. Is it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When does the Holy Spirit come on you? The moment you receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. God Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your life. Okay, I don't have this up here, but leave this here. Leave Acts 1:8 there. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 said, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the gospel. Okay, let me read it exactly as it says. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance in heaven. The moment you said, God, I believe that you died for me, God Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God Himself, if you're a believer, lives in your body. That has huge amounts of ramifications. When you can't get rid of Him and you take Him into sin and expose Him into sin that you're doing, huge ramifications there. That we're not talking about that though. We're talking about when the Holy Spirit comes into you. Acts 1:8, you receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, that's the moment of your salvation. And you will be my witnesses. Okay, take a wild guess. What are you going to be witnesses of? You will be my witnesses. What are you supposed to witness? You're sharing the gospel. That Jesus Himself died. He was buried and He rose again to set you free from sin and all the junk and the stuff you're living in that fear of death. Jesus came to set you free from that. You will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes on you at the moment of your salvation, you will be my witnesses. And you understand the terminology, will be. Not, it would be really cool if you would be, but I don't even want to get into that. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You must be my witnesses. That is our mandate as believers in Jesus Christ. As a local church, as an association of believers, our mandate is to take the gospel, to make sure the gospel is known in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. How many of you guys have been to Samaria with the gospel so far? You're like missing it. Do you go to Samaria? Oh, you just stick in your own country in Pakistan. All right. We're called to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So obviously, God is not talking like, go to that country. All right, here's what he's talking. I want to tell you literally what he's saying, and that's the next set of slides. I want to define Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Or King James says, to the uttermost parts of the earth, but that just reminds me of cows. Anyway. Okay, but Jerusalem. Did you get it? Utter? Okay. Huh? Yeah, it is a Lancaster joke. Speaking of Lancaster joke, comes up here once. Did you ever see the farmer's handshake? Come here. Farmer's handshake? Go ahead. That's the farmer's handshake, all right? Just in case you ever wanted to know. It's not a sissy farmer. Anyway, the uttermost parts to the ends of the earth, all right. Definitions, these are back to my definitions. Jerusalem. And this builds, we have the foundation for the gospel. And God's mandates us to take to these places, so we better know what these are. This is Jerusalem, okay? What I believe my definition of Jerusalem is, and God put these in a very specific order. They just weren't random towns they could think of right off the bat. They were like close, a little farther away, and really far away towns from where it was at. So Jerusalem, this is where we are called to be a light. Jerusalem, I consider your neighbors and your neighborhood. Your neighbor and your neighborhood. The first place that we're to take the gospel, and I want to tell you what, it is foolish to think you can take the gospel anywhere else if you're not there first. That's why it's in that order. This is the mandate, the most important thing. You take the gospel to your neighbors and your neighborhood. That's where you're at. You live there. You're there every day. You are called to take the gospel to your Jerusalem. That's where they were talking, to the disciples were. He said, take it, start in Jerusalem. Take the gospel to Jerusalem. What is, now, as an association of believers, what is our Jerusalem? Anybody want to guess? Pine Grove is our Jerusalem. Where else is our Jerusalem? We have more Jerusalems than just Pine Grove. Schuylkill Haven, Cressona, Tremont, Pottsville, Bethel. I just lumped that in with Northern Berks and Northern Lebanon. Okay. Summit Station, Auburn, Tremont, Higgins, Minersville, etc. Did I leave anything out of our Jerusalem? Rock. That's my Jerusalem. We're called, I forgot about that. I'm talking about you, not me. This isn't personal with me. No. We're called to take the gospel there. That's where you go. That's where you live. Their neighbors, your neighborhood, the people around you. Obviously, the closer to your home, it's probably important. But we're called as an association of believers. These are the people that we attract to this church. Okay? Some other people. But this is our Jerusalem. That's where we're called to take the gospel to these kind of people. How do we do that? You're sitting in it. One of the ways we do it is we are a church. We are a church that brings people in from the neighborhood, and you invite people to the events and to church, and you guys are sharing the gospel with them by being the kind of believers that believers should be. By being friendly, by not being shy to say anything, to welcome people here, to make them feel welcome. And if you're not, you're not fulfilling your Jerusalem. And we have this set up so you can fulfill your Jerusalem. There's other ways we do it. How else do we do it? Anything, any other ways we do it? How do we reach them? KFJ, the circle, Bible studies, church building, celebrate recovery. This is and MOPS and all the other ones that I forgot because they're not near as important as the ones I said. Just kidding. All right. This is the way we reach our Jerusalem. And you are involved in that. You're involved in supporting it by giving and all kinds of stuff like that. We need to do that. We are mandated to do that. That's our Jerusalem. You all know that. Shouldn't spend so much time. Judea. All right. Judea. The definition of Judea. People whose culture and language is similar to yours. In my opinion, the very first thing a church should be doing is reaching its Jerusalem. The second thing a church should be doing, and that's with money and piles of people, cleaning and paint, just all this kind of stuff. That's how we are serving our Jerusalem. The second place is Judea. Judea is a little bit farther out. I call Judea whose culture and language is similar to yours. They're not in your neighborhood. They're not your Jerusalem, but their culture and neighbors and their language is similar to yours. So who would be our Judea that we're responsible for? Who's our Judea? What's that? Ashland, Rock. Ashland, Pottsville. In Pottsville, you got the Open Arms Ministry. Disciple Makers, Keith Evans is taking the gospel to Lancaster and different places through in some colleges. How about Shenandoah? How about these kind of places? They're close enough to us. They're not really our neighbors. We're not going to have people drive too far from there, although we have a couple that comes from, anyway, the place in 81 up there. But anyway, it's they're not like in our neighborhood or close enough, but we're called to take the gospel to them also. How do we take the gospel to them? Do you know we're starting to think about a church plant in Shenandoah? Andy and Brittany Martin, you need to pray that God leads them because they are volunteering to possibly take the gospel as the pastor, as a church plant to Shenandoah. And we're getting ready, and I know I don't pronounce it right probably, but we're getting ready to take the gospel there. And Ashland, we supported that church. We're called to take the gospel to places that are this kind of the same culture and kind of the same language. That's kind of the outskirts of where our church reaches. We're going to take it there mostly by resources, and some by people, because some of you might go with Andy and Brittany to plant a church there. Some of you might stay, but for sure we're going to support that church plant and see that it gets going. So we're going to be supporting it with some of our people because it's close enough that some can go and help plant that church. But it's also, we're going to be supporting them like we did the Ashland Church in a bunch of different places and things like that. Open Arms Ministry in Pottsville and stuff with some of our resources. So that's Jerusalem, Judea. Now you get to Samaria. Samaria is an interesting one. Samaria is your neighboring culture with a different language. Your neighboring culture. It's not a culture. It doesn't have to be a culture like yours. It's your neighboring culture with a different language than you have. So you can't just walk in there and start speaking. I can't even speak accents, all right? But you can't just walk in there and say, hey, I'm Bob and I'm a missionary. Someone has to interpret for you and you're going to look different than them. You're going to sound different than them. You're going to have a different accent and everything. Samaria is your neighboring culture with a different language. Now, who's responsible first to Samaria? Who do you think is responsible first to take the gospel to Samaria? Samaritans are, but if the gospel's not there, who's responsible? Samaria's Jerusalem or Samaria's Judea. Does that make sense? The people that do speak the same language as them, their neighboring Jerusalem should be responsible to take it there. Not many of us can do it without going to school for a long time, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars in language training and all kinds of stuff like that. But we are still responsible to see that the gospel gets to Samaria. And the main way we do that is every once in a while we'll send a person there. Because sometimes a person from here needs to go there. Kind of like Stephen and Allie Merrick. Where they're in Mexico, it's a neighboring culture, totally different language, but no one in Mexico even knows the language of that people group they're going to. So they have the training, we train them, we send them there. But most of us will never go to a Samaria to take the gospel as pastors or missionaries. But every once in a while, we get the opportunity to train someone to go farther than what Keith and Sarah are going, to go to a different language. But the main responsibility on Pine Grove Community Church is to see that it gets done. Resources. We have reached our community. We're reaching out, but we are please excuse me, but compared to the rest of the world, a wealthy church. You may not consider yourself wealthy, and if you think you're not wealthy, go complain to Joseph and tell him what you don't have and let him tell you what poverty really is, okay? I've been to some places, that's why I love to see you guys go on some missions trip to see those things. But Our job primarily, our church's concern, is the way we reach Samaria is once in a while get someone to go, but for the most part, it's our resources that people need. Samaria is usually very poor. And their neighbors, Judea, is usually pretty poor. And so we are called to help supply their neighbors, their churches in their neighboring countries, their churches in their neighboring culture. They know them best. We are called to support them to go into their neighbors. And I hope this is making sense, but Samaria is your neighboring culture, a different language. So what we need to do, we need to find people that have their language that are part of a local church. And that local church is usually very poor. And we need to come alongside that local church and help them to do their culture, their spiritual mandate. All right? So that's where we've come in, Pine Grove Community Church, alongside of some of these ministries. Okay? So our Samaria, you know what? Samaria doesn't have to be real far away. Our Samaria is Grantville and Harrisburg. We support church plants heavily in Grantville to the Spanish-speaking people that work at the racetrack and the casino. We support, you guys have Christian and his wife, Himana, that comes up here and leads worship sometime in Harrisburg. You guys are reaching out to Harrisburg, not always with your body, because unless you're a good Spanish speaker, but they are reaching it for us. So we're paying them, helping them, enabling them to reach our Samaria, which is sometimes as close as Harrisburg, sometimes as close as Grantville. And how about the Brooklyn Arabic Bible Church? You had Pastor Safwat that was here before, and we're supporting Pastor Safwat. We're reaching Muslims in India, in Long Island and different places like that. Stephen and Allie Merrick are reaching our Samaria. And then there's one last place. It's the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth, I define as unknown culture, unknown language. We don't know their culture. We don't know their language. For me to go win believers and share the good news, the gospel, sharing the good news, that's the purpose we're called to do. We have to do it. For me to go, it would take me years and years to learn hello in their language. Okay, let alone any other words, you know? Let alone to be able to share the gospel in their language. So rarely do we send someone. We do once in a while with New Tribes Missions, all right? But it's a big, big process. But we are still called as a church to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. How do we do that? It's a bad word in today's society. We enable somebody else to do it. Somebody else, as close to their culture and as close to their language as we can, we enable them. And that's funding. All right? Because God has blessed us with that gift. So we need to enable other indigenous missionaries and pastors to reach their Jerusalem and their Judea by supplying resources. That's what God has called us to do. To be able to do that. Who can best reach in one of our unknown languages? Who can best reach them? Who can reach them with the most spiritual impact for the least amount of money? Who can reach them? Some of you guys already support some of the missionaries that are hanging up on that wall. All right? Our church heavily supports them. The best people to reach them is their neighboring church pastors, that they can send pastors and indigenous missionaries to reach them. It cuts years off the growth of that spiritual input into that community. So as far as our churches come, do I have one more slide with all of them written on up there? I thought I did, maybe I don't. But our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, we are called to take it to Jerusalem. We are called to take it to Judea and start to fund it. We are called to Samaria. I had to go through it in my mind. I could just look at it. We are called to Samaria to find people that can take it for us and enable them to do it that already know the culture. And then the ends of the earth is amazing. You guys get to see some of this. I think it's really cool. The ends of the earth, I would say, is ICII. It's not the end of the earth to you, but to us it is, okay? To us, it would be like going to some unknown language, unknown culture. But ICII, independent church in India and Pakistan, and where they're working, those people speak the language, they know the culture, they know what goes on. I asked them this morning, are these stories that you guys send us, are they like fake stories for advertisement? I cannot believe the stuff that's going on. And these, I can't believe, remember we bought that lady and her family out of slavery? To actually see faces with that is incredible to me. It just pulls my heart like crazy. I don't understand that. It almost seems like a movie or something. This stuff only happens in make-believe. But we are so isolated from the rest of the world. This happens all the time. So ICII does what we can't do. They have piles of pastors that are ready to go in. They need teaching. So they're going without it. That we're keeping their school open to teach these pastors to do it. A lot of you guys are supporting missionaries. We're paying. They're leaving their homes and they're going out and they can't even. They're like struggling between how do I feed my family and how do I do this? So we're enabling them by feeding their family. And there's hundreds more or piles more that could be gone, but nobody's funding them. And if the churches in America would do what we're called to do, we could all band together and fund missions all over the world and send indigenous missionaries. And instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on white missionaries going to that culture, I say white because we're white, going to that culture, why not let the indigenous churches and why not give them money? They can 100 times better than we can in most cases. Unknown languages are different because we have training and that kind of stuff. But our church, and I'm just sharing you our, not the right missions, but I'm sharing you our philosophy as a church that you're part of. What a cool thing.